To those of you visiting with us, we're glad to have you here and hope that you will be blessed by being with us. We've been doing a study on looking at the wrong answers that people are given to the question, what must I do to be saved? Before we get into our lesson this morning, I've got a couple of things to remind you about of what's happening. Let's see, did we miss a thing here? No, I guess I got that in the wrong place. Okay, first off, homemade ice cream competition. Next Sunday evening, we're going for the coveted Golden Scoop Award. Okay? So, if you make homemade ice cream, bring that and enter it into the competition. If you don't have an ice cream maker, you don't make ice cream, that's okay. You can still participate. Bring fixings and stuff to go with ice cream. It's just a great time of fun and fellowship. So that's what we're doing for our fourth Sunday fellowship next Sunday evening. So keep that in mind, all right? Friends Day 2017 will be on Sunday, September the 10th. So I want you to mark that on your calendar. Plan to be here for that day. Now we're doing something a little bit special this year. We're going to be having our Bible class and our worship service. Lessons will focus on what it means to be a good neighbor and the whole idea of neighbors and friends and relationships, family, and so forth. And then after that, we're going to have a fellowship meal. And it's all about getting to know your neighbors. And we have sent out a personal invitation to all of our neighbors in the Neighborhood Watch around us here, because that's who we're really wanting to focus on in this. So what we're trying to do is just to invite them to come so that they can get to know us better and we can get to know them better. It's basically a time of fellowship and us getting to know one another a whole lot better. Now, you know, you may think this is kind of weird, but and it's different from what we oftentimes and what we generally focus on. We are not focusing on that day. We are not focusing on trying to proselyte and trying to get them to come to our church and all that kind of stuff. And that's a promise that I have made to them, okay? This is about getting to know one another better. Now, certainly, we want to welcome them here. And if they, you know, there's some new families that are moving into the area that may be looking for a church home, and they're welcome here. But that day, we're going to be focusing on just getting to know one another better. So that's what that day is all about. I really want to encourage you to plan to be here for that. Fix enough food for your family and some others so that we can welcome them and hopefully they will feel even more and more comfortable as they get to know us better and we get to know them. So that's what that day is all about. That's what we're doing for our 2017 Friends Day. All right? Now, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, Brian will be showing this movie, The Case for Christ. I want to encourage you to come to. It's a really great movie. Really want to encourage you to come out and share it again. Great fellowship time. We'll have some popcorn. It's just a great opportunity to fellowship and see a really, really well done movie. The story of Lee Strobel and his conversion as he tried to prove that God doesn't exist, and how his search for that really proved to him that indeed he does. And so it's a great, great movie. Excuse me. My throat is giving me a little bit of problem this morning, so I ask you to bear with me. What must I do to be saved? That was the question that folks asked Peter and the other disciples on the day of Pentecost. Okay. And it is a question that people are still asking today. It's a question that people in your Jerusalem and my Jerusalem are still asking. What must I do to be saved? The problem is that too many people are giving a lot of wrong answers to that question, and they're leading people astray. And sometimes those things are, I would just say, innocent enough, but other times they're just flat-out lies that people are being told to support a belief or a doctrine that they know otherwise is not true. And the ultimate problem with that is that a lot of people are being led into a false sense of security because they're being told something that this is all you need to do, or this is what you need to do, and that's not what you need to do. And they do it and they feel secure when, in some cases, they may actually still be lost because they haven't done what God tells them to do. So what we're doing here is looking at some of these answers that people are giving. Looking at them to see what are people being told, and then what does the Bible really say about those kinds of things, right? So hopefully you look at some of these things. These are tools for you to be able to use to talk with folks that, you know, that have questions about some of these answers that they're being given and so forth. So look at it and understand it in that way. So our wrong answer that we're talking about today, that all roads lead to heaven. Okay? This is a very, very popular belief, a very popular teaching that I have heard in conversations with many different preachers from different denominations. Get into some of these, you know, groups of preachers gathering around together, and they, you know, it's kind of this, well, we're all just, you know, folks on the same road going to the same heaven, right? We're just traveling different ways to get there and so forth. It sounds really good. It sounds really loving. But the problem is, it's wrong. Okay? That's the wrong answer. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Because there are a lot of people that believe this. Do all roads lead to God? They would say, yes, they do. Okay? Many of you have probably seen this particular sign. Coexist. All these different religious symbols. And the idea behind this is that, you know, again, we're all part of the same thing. We're all part of the same, you know, the same road. We're just different religions. We have some different beliefs. But we all belong to God anyway. We're all going to the same God and so forth. So let's just kind of go and coexist and get along with one another, right? That's the idea behind it. The idea that it spreads is that you can pick one of many different roads or ways to get to heaven. Well, one of the problems with that is that it really makes religion and belief and all that very, very convenient. You see, I can pick the things that I want to believe out of God's Word, and I can believe those things, you can believe the things you want to believe, and we're all going to the same heaven anyway, it's just a different way to get there. And doesn't that make people feel good? You say, again, it makes them feel secure. It leads to what I refer to as an I'm okay, you're okay religion. See? Again, all religions, one is just as good as another because they're all pointing to God. We all believe in the same God, so I'm okay, you're okay. You believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and everybody's happy with that, right? And all-inclusive society, you see, the problem is, doesn't really want to shut anybody out. Let's just include everybody. You may have heard it kind of put this way. We are all just different branches of the same tree. Okay? And you can talk about that whether you're talking about denominationalism or whether you're talking about major religions that are very different. People look at them that way. We're all just different branches all on the same tree. Well, again, what does the Bible have to say about that? And that's what we're going to be looking at. Albert Einstein is one who really kind of, you know, pushed that kind of an idea. All religions, all arts and sciences are branches of the same tree. Okay. What happens is then people tend to look at religion in general and say there really are no right or wrong religions. Okay? There's a lot of right ways to go. And so you go the way you want to go, I'll go the way I want to go, and we'll all end up in the same place anyway. Now, just stop and think about that concept for a moment. How many places in the world can you go and get to where you want to go in that same thing? You know, have you ever heard the phrase that people say, well, how do you get to so-and-so? And they say, you can't get there from here. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
Yeah.
You know, because there's no direct route. You got to go, you know, all this way. And I think that's what's happening with people's religion. You see? We got folks that are kind of going this way all around here just to get over here. Because they think, yeah, well, you know, this road is just as good as this one going here. There's no right or no wrong way. You know, we talked about judging, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You know, who's to say who's the right way, who's got the right way, who's got the wrong way? If there are no right or wrong religions, then there are no right or wrong beliefs. See where that leads to. You see? Again, you believe how you want to believe, I believe how I want to believe, and we're all going to be happy in heaven together one day anyway. Right. So what difference does it make what you really believe? You see, when you start off down a path, sometimes if you don't look way down the road, then you're thinking everything is fine, but you're not going to end up in the right place. Looks good on the surface at the beginning, but when you follow that all the way through, no, not all roads go to the same place. There are people that ask this question, who's right? You know, we got all these different religions in the world. Who's to say who's right and who's wrong? And then if you even narrow it down within Christianity, that by the last number that I heard, there are well over 300 different groups of Christians just in the United States. Okay? So who's right and who's wrong? And how do we know? I mean, 300, that's a lot of different religious groups that are just all claiming to be Christians, all claiming to follow the same God and the same Bible. So how do we know who's right and who's wrong? Well, some people would say, what difference does it make? We're all right. Nobody's wrong as long as you're following God, right? Well, again, all roads don't go to the same place.
Right.
Billions of people, some people will say, throughout the whole history of mankind, thought that their religion was the correct one. You go back through history, that's what you see. What makes you different from them? If you say, no, there's only one way to go, then you're counteracting billions of people throughout history. That's what this is all about. And that's what a lot of people believe. Okay? What that ultimately leads to is that we end up recreating God in our own image. In other words, we make God the way we want Him to be. We set the standards, we set the rules, and we say, now, this is what I believe, and God's just going to have to conform to that. See? Well, the Bible that I know, the Bible that I read, says that we are created in God's image, not the other way around. Amen. That God is the creator, that He is the master of the universe.
Amen.
And He's the one that gets to decide, not us. You see, we are to conform to what He wants us to be doing and living, not the other way around. God will not be conformed to our image of Him. He is who He is, and that's what it means when God told Moses in the wilderness, there at the burning bush, Moses asked Him, who are you? He said, I am who I am.
Amen.
Okay? He didn't say, I am who you want me to be. Okay? God is who He is, and He will not be changed for anyone.
Amen.
And that's a message that we need to share with people, because too many people today are following down this road that says, hey, it doesn't really matter. Okay? The Bible tells us, the wise man in Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, that's what happens when we try to come up with our own way and ignore the way that God has already given to us. And we say, well, again, this way is just as good as that way, or this way is just as good as those ways over there. And what the wise man is saying, there's only one way. We come up with all kinds of ways, but those ways will always lead to death if they are not God's way.
Amen.
Because there's only one way to go. Now, people will say, as we talk about, you know, one way to get to God and so forth, they use this, you're too judgmental. If you insist that there's only one way and that it's got to be God's way and so forth, then you're being too judgmental. All right? If you stand on the truth today, especially, you are considered to be hateful. If you stand on the truth of God's word, to a lot of people, you are full of hate. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who deserve that that title, being hateful, because of the way they present God's Word is oftentimes very hateful. That's not God's way. Okay? But simply to stand on the truth of God's Word is not hateful. In fact, it is the loving thing to do because we're sharing the truth with people. That's what they need to hear. People oftentimes say you're judgmental because we're telling them something they don't really want to hear.
Amen.
But we have to remember it's what they need to hear. And when we truly love someone, love, by definition, agape, is always doing what is in someone else's best interest. So we have to tell the truth, okay? I don't know if you can read the bottom of this thing right here. The little kid says, it may be wrong, but it's how I feel. You know, and I think that's how a lot of people are living their lives today. I feel this, so therefore it's okay for me to go along this path. This is how I feel. We're basing decisions that we make and the directions that we're going on how we feel rather than what is right. If we based all of our decisions on how we feel, then probably none of us would get up and go to work in the morning, right? You see, because, you know, I don't feel like doing that. And that's true with our following God. If we base it all on how we feel about it, then we're not going to follow God very faithfully. I'll be honest with you, there are some things in God's Word that are hard to follow.
Well,
and if we follow, if we do that based on how we feel, then, you know, it's like, I don't feel like following that, so I'm not going to. That's not the road I want to be on. Mm. So our feelings are not a good guide as we try to go down the road to heaven. All right? We have this problem in our world today. If you don't accept everyone's religion, then you are intolerant. That's another word that's being thrown around out there. Everybody, you know, has got their own thing, and you just got to accept everybody else and be tolerant. Because if you tell someone their religion is wrong, then you're an intolerant person, and you're not acceptable in our society any longer. And that's what's happening. Because too many people believe that all roads are going to the same heaven to begin with. And there are folks that throw this passage out. It's probably, I've heard some folks say, this is probably one of the most misquoted passages in all of the Bible. Okay? Do not judge or you too will be judged. And that's what people will throw out there when they don't like what you're telling them, the truth of the Bible, is say, you know, the Bible says don't be judging. Okay? Well, you know, really we need to understand what Jesus is saying in that passage. You know, we oftentimes judge someone and we're just as guilty as the other. It's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. Okay? Who are you to judge me? All right? The only thing I can imagine from this picture is that this particular person, whoever it is, must feel like they're being judged so often that they have that tattooed, so I guess they can just kind of, when they feel like somebody's judging, they just kind of throw that arm up there. You know, I just thought that was kind of interesting to have something like that tattooed on your arm. You know, but I think it shows how intently people look at that passage and try to use it to justify their behavior. Who are you to judge me, is what people say. Well, what about that passage? From Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Jesus says, don't judge so that you won't be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. Amen. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Mm-hmm. All right? So we need to understand this is not a passage that prohibits any judging whatsoever. In its context, it's talking about hypocritical judging. Well, people will say, well, real Christians don't judge other people. Well, let's take a look at that a little bit more. You see, Jesus, as he continues on in this, talks about the problem that we run into when we're trying to take a splinter out of someone else's eye, we got a beam in our own eye.
Amen.
That's within the context of this passage. That's what he's talking about here.
Amen.
Okay? It's about hypocritical judging, not any judging and all judging at all. So when it says, do not judge lest you be judged. It's talking about judging hypocritically, judging people and condemning people for doing the very same thing that you yourself are doing. That's what the passage and the context is all about. All right? He goes on to say in this, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? And look at what he says in verse 5. You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Amen.
So again, what that passage is focusing on is, don't be going around pointing out other people's faults when you're doing exactly the same thing. You see? You get your act together, and then you can help other people to get their act together. But don't be a hypocrite going around pointing out people's faults when you're guilty of doing the same thing. That's really what he's talking about.
Amen.
But yet, people use that passage over and over and over again to defend their own beliefs and their own religion and so forth and their own actions. Don't judge me. You're not allowed to judge me. The Bible says don't judge lest you be judged. Well, keep reading and understand it in the context. See? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, look at what Paul says. Therefore you have no excuse, everyone who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. That's what he's talking about. The same thing Jesus had to say. Hypocritical judging. You're doing the same thing you're passing judgment on other people for doing. Okay? So basically what you're doing is you're passing judgment on yourself, is what he's saying here. If you condemn someone for something they're doing, you're doing the same thing, you're basically condemning yourself. That's what both of those passages are all about. Okay? When we practice the same things, we're just as guilty. And we should be condemned in the same way we're condemning others for what they're doing. Alright? In actuality, we are to judge. Okay? There are some things that we are to judge.
Amen.
In John chapter 7, okay? Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of his day. And the situation that is taking place is the whole religious question. Okay, you following me here? This is a religious discussion on whether or not we're allowed to heal on the Sabbath. Okay? And look at what Jesus says. Now, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? And look at what he says. I think I have this highlighted. Stop judging by what? Mere appearances and make right judgments. Now again, keep in mind, this is a religious discussion that I would put in the same kind of basket as, you know, where you, you know, what do you believe and what are your beliefs? That's what they're discussing here. We believe you can't heal someone on the Sabbath. But we believe at the same time it's okay to circumcise a child on the Sabbath so the law of Moses isn't broken. That's a religious discussion.
Well,
it's not a whole lot different than when we say, well, I believe that, you know, we can do this, and someone else says, well, no, I don't believe we can do that. I believe baptism is necessary for salvation. Someone says, no, it's only faith only. That's a religious discussion.
Amen.
And people in disagreement will say, well, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe. We're all on different roads going to the same heaven anyway. But the reality is that the Bible, as we saw in the previous study, the Bible makes it clear that no, those both are not equal beliefs. And that we need to be judging those kinds of things. Now, we're not judging the person, we're judging what they're believing. And trying to help them see what the truth is about that. We never have the right. It is not our place to judge someone as to whether they're going to go to heaven or go to hell, whether they're going to be saved or not. You know what? People ask me sometimes, do you think somebody does this or that? And I say, you know what? That is so far above my pay grade that I don't even think about those kind of questions, okay? Alright? God did, he didn't elevate me to that position. It is not my place to decide who gets to go to heaven and who gets to go to hell.
Yes.
But it is my responsibility that God has given me to make sure that I tell people the truth.
Amen.
You say? And I look at what people are doing and I judge that what they're doing is not according to the Bible, then I want to share the truth with them.
Amen.
To help them to make sure they understand, okay, that what they're doing is not in accordance with God's law.
Amen.
Okay? I leave the judging for eternity to God. Okay? So we are to judge some things. We are not to judge and determine whether or not somebody gets to go to heaven or hell. That's not our place. I don't want that responsibility, by the way. And if you really think about it, I don't think you do either.
Right.
Okay? You see, when we're doing that, I'm not judging people. I'm just telling people what God says. It's not my message. Okay? I am just the messenger. If you don't like the message, okay, don't shoot the messenger. All right, take that up with God. And I want to suggest to you and encourage you, that's the approach that we really should be taking to it. It is not our message, it's God's message. And we need to be sharing that message with as many people as we can. Some people are going to look at that and say, you're judgmental. Well, that's between them and God. Okay? I'm just trying to share what God's message is all about. Well, ultimately, what's the real answer to that question? Are there lots of roads that all lead to the same heaven? Jesus makes that very clear in John chapter 14, the text that
yes.
he read for us as we began. Okay? When Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus made it very clear by saying there's only one way to go.
Amen.
And guess what that way is? It's the same I am who met Moses at the burning bush.
Amen. I am.
I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look at what he says here. No one.
No one. Yeah.
Now, how inclusive is that word, no one?
No one.
Okay? Everyone is included in that. Okay? No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Okay? Not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through any of those others. Through Jesus. You see, the reason for that is because no one else is who Jesus is. And so no one else can accomplish what Jesus accomplished. And that's an important part of the message we need to share with people. Alright? Buddha didn't die on a cross for anybody's sins. Muhammad didn't die for anybody's sins. They were not able to reconcile anybody to God through what they did, through their life or their death. The only one that could accomplish that was Jesus himself, the
Amen.
Son of God.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus makes it very clear. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is only one way to get to heaven. We studied this back a few weeks ago in our study on Revelation in our Bible class. As they're looking at the seals, the scroll and the seals that are there. And the question is asked, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And it goes on to say, I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals. He is the only one who is worthy to do so. And that is why he is the only way. And that's why there is only one way to get to heaven. And that is through Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, but wait a minute, what about all these different Christian religions? Well, Jesus again makes that very clear. passage we've talked about many times, Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I would say, in the context of this lesson, not everyone who says they're on the road to heaven is actually on the road. He makes it very clear. He says, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name do many wonderful works. You see, Lord, Lord, we're on the right road to heaven. Doing all these wonderful works. Isn't that the right road to heaven? And he will say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. You who work iniquity. Or some translations say, you evildoers. So you see, the concern is that there are a lot of people who are on roads and they're doing a lot of good things in the name of the Lord and they're believing in the Lord. But when they get to the point where judgment comes, the judgment that makes all the difference in the world, they're going to hear, depart from me, you were on the wrong road. Because there's not but one way, and that's Jesus and his work. The road to heaven, Jesus declares, is a one-way street.
Amen.
One-way street. Is Jesus intolerant? I'm convinced that today there are a lot of folks in churches that would kick him out because of what he says. He's too intolerant. He's not accepting everybody.
That's right. Amen. No,
actually, that's right. He's not accepting everybody. He's only accepting those who do the will of his Father in heaven.
Yes.
If that's intolerant, then so be it. Is Jesus being too judgmental? And he accused him of that. Really, there are actually people today who think that they're being more loving and giving more grace and mercy than God does because they're accepting everybody. Okay. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus declares, the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. So, you see, he gets to be judgmental, doesn't he?
Amen.
All right? Because he's been given that authority by the Father.
Amen.
All right? So, is he judgmental? You better believe him. You better believe him. He has the right to be. Because he's the judge. So, here's the question. Do all roads lead to heaven?
No.
A big fat no. They do not. There's a lot of roads that look like they're going in the right direction. Have you ever been on one of those? You're going somewhere, you're not really sure where you're going. You get on the road and say, yeah, I think this is it. And, you know, you end up kind of like Judy and Walter travel around West Virginia for 6 hours. Trying to find their way back to the right road. Right, Judy and Walter? That's what happened to them last week. You know? Looked like it was the right road, but it wasn't the right road. Because not all roads lead to heaven. Now, as we've discussed this morning, as I said earlier, I'm sure that you know people in your Jerusalem who believe that all roads are going to the same heaven. Hopefully, things that I've shared with you this morning will help you to talk with them and help them to see that that's just not true according to the Scriptures. So, but at the same time, there may be some folks here this morning who believe that. They kind of felt like, well, yeah, you know, I'm okay and I feel secure in my salvation because I'm going down this road or what have you. And it's all we're all going. No, we're not. And if that's where you are this morning, then I hope you realize now that's a path that will lead you to destruction. You have the opportunity, though, to get on the right path. That is the path that is following Jesus and his word only. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, to follow his way in your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that separated you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. If there's some other thing, situation, whatever it is going on in your life that you need prayers for or guidance or help or whatever it is, we provide that opportunity at this point. Dale will be in the back to receive anybody who would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front for anyone who would like to come up and respond. Tom has a song chosen. Let's stand together and sing.